in Titus, in the book of Titus, Titus, chapter 1. And Titus 1. We'll read down to the third verse and then you'll sit down and I'll read a few more. Oh, okay. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Now, I need you to read the second verse because I want to make sure you're with me. My message is really going to be around this second verse. Let's read it together. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began, all together, but has in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandments of God, our Savior. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for these dear people, people that love God, a pastor that has a heart after yours. Oh, God, let them be bound together in the same mindset that they can get your work done. It's not about the pastor. It's not about the big eyes and the little U's. But, Lord, it's about getting a world saved because there is an eternal heaven and there's an eternal hell. And we don't want to see anyone go to hell. So bless this church to continue to do your work. These things we ask in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Then I want you to turn, if you will, with me to 2 Corinthians, the third chapter, verse number 17. First Corinthians 3:17. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 3:17. I'm sorry. That's my fault. It's actually 2 Corinthians. You're all supposed to do what I think, not what I say. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 3. And we just could read one verse here. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Isn't that a wonderful thing? If God's Spirit is here, you feel that freedom, and I felt that freedom. Amen. And I thank God that he has set me free. I think we have a verse about that, about Jesus setting us free. So tonight, I want to keep that freedom. I have so many people that I've been around that hate me. A lot of hate in the world. I think I'll read another verse before I really get into this. And that is from the book of Amos. In the book of Amos. Five, verse number 15. It says, hate the evil and what? Establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto thy remnant of Joseph. And then while you're there, skip over to verse number 17. See, Amos let the people know in northern Israel, God called me to preach. And if you stop me from preaching, here's what's going to happen to you. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, thy wife shall be a harlot in the city, and thy sons and thy daughters shall fall by the sword, and the land shall be divided by line, and thou shalt die in a polluted land, and Israel shall surely go into captivity forth of his hand, of this land. I see that happening. Had a musician one time tell me, he said, you got to hit notes right, correctly. He said, people may not know what's wrong, but they know something ain't right. Think about this nation. You may not be able to put your finger on it, but you know there's something that's not right. And since we have liberty, we can explore and find out what that is not right. The two sermons I'm going to preach tonight is, and I'm going to put them together, preacher. I'll be through in about 30 minutes. Why many hate America. And then the second one is why many people love America. Can't do one without the other. Amen. Amen. Like I said, I've experienced a lot of hate in my lifetime. And I'm experiencing it now more than ever. People hate me because I won't wear a mask. People hate me because I'm not a Democrat. People hate me because I won't get vaccinated. I have experienced in this time that I'm living in now more hate than I have ever in my life. If you don't agree with someone, you're an Uncle Tom. Hello? They don't call y'all that, they call me that, amen. Preacher, you have some water? Okay, there he is. I think this one's been drank. I don't know. I was in a Methodist church one time, and you know, they sprinkle. And they have the baptistry over here and had the water for the preacher over there. I didn't know one from the other. And I drank up their baptistry and the whole kind. Oh, I think I lost them right at the start. Listen, while he's trying to find that water, realize that we're living in a time where there has been, in the church, a great falling away. And if you look in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, the third verse, it tells us about that great falling away. Let's turn to that. Preacher, once I get this train rolling, trust me, it won't be long. You found it? It's 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Thank you. Let's read that. No one here can read, huh? I haven't found it. That's why I told you to read it. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Here we go. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. See, the Antichrist, and it's going to be so easy for us to accept him, because we have a great falling away from God's word, from the house of God. The culture is falling away. We used to have movies on television that dealt with some type of biblical standards. Amen? But everything has gone away from God. We talk about the Bible being out of public schools. They've taken it out of the churches. Many of the churches are using two or three other kinds of Bibles. So there's a great falling away. And because of that, man has become more wicked. Amen? The book tells us that perilous times shall come in the last days. Men would become what? Lovers of themselves. Now, why does many hate America? Well, let me tell you a little story, and I think you may be able to figure this out. First of all, we're haters by nature. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're negative. Thank God for the cross. Amen. Vertical gives us a what kind of sign? Plus sign. See, Jesus can make you positive. But we're just negative by nature. The first thought that comes to our mind is usually, come on now, a negative thought. Amen? A fictitious story is told about a little boy who grew up. His uncle was the principal of a school. His father was a fireman. And he did not like his dad at all. He blamed his dad for his mother's death. His mother and his daughter was burned up in a fire. And so the father was supposed to come to his son's graduation, high school graduation. And he didn't make it. And this little boy became quite bitter. That's what you always do. And so he made up in his mind, I'll never become like my father. And before that graduation was over, the uncle came and he said, folks, a tragedy has happened. He said the reason that the boy's father didn't make it was because he was in a fire. He rushed in to try to save someone and he's in critical condition. And so so they said, okay, I'm going to have to go and see my brother. So he took his little nephew with him. And on the way there, the nephew was talking about, you know, everything negative about his father. And the uncle got sick and tired of that. And he told that boy, he said, listen, let me tell you something. You've been ashamed of your dad. You don't want to go around him. Sometimes he disappoints you. He said, but let me tell you something about him. You know those scars on his hands? Half his face got burned up. It said, because in that fire that your mother and your little sister died, your daddy rushed in there, scooped you up in a blanket, came out, his arms aflame, his face half burnt off. And he said, if it had not been for him, you wouldn't be here. That kid went into the hospital with his uncle, went to the bedside, saw his dad in critical condition. Tears start coming down. He said, I never knew that my father loved me that much. He was always mean and grumpy. Uncle told him that was because he was always in so much pain. You know, I think one of the reasons that we learn to hate ourselves, hate our country, is that we do not understand how much God loved us. Amen. See, he took heaven's best, put it up on a cross. Amen.
Amen.
Put nails in his hands, in his feet, a spear in his side. And we just don't get it. And I think it's because we've become too comfortable with it. Amen? We take it for granted. That little boy went on. He was the valedictorian at his graduation, college now. He was to give the speech. He gave the speech. And he said this. His father recovered. He was sitting there. He said, I never thought I would say what I'm going to say tonight. He says, as I graduate from this Fireman Academy, he said, it's because I had a father that loved me so much. And I want to be just like my dad. When you learn how much God loves us, you ought to say, I want to be like God. I know I do. Do you know that was David's hope? That David wanted to wake up in the image of God. And that's what he's doing. He's making us into his image.
Right.
He's working on us. I heard a sculptor one time say he was cutting on a piece of marble. And the marble said, you're hurting me. Kept chipping away. Took some sandpaper and started sanding. And he said, it hurts. And the sculptor said, but you just wait until I get through with you. Sometime God chips away at us. He sands us. He hurts us, amen. But just wait till he gets through with us.
Yeah.
Amen.
We're going to be like him.
Right.
Hey, pretend like you're at a football game. The Bears are playing. But y'all like Green Bay? Green Bay winning, yeah! So much hate in this nation. It used to not be that way. Let me show you something here. I brought some pictures. See, that's why I'm not wearing a mask. Slaves wore masks. Those masks is like a, what kind of fence is that? Chain link? It's not keeping anything out. Hate all you want to.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing a dress. That's Tyler Perry. You know who's pushing him down? Y'all know who this is? Yeah, you see how far we've gotten away from God? A man wearing a dress. Now here's why we have so much hate. Satan wants to undo what God has done. And he has come up with a scheme. And that scheme is to program us to hate each other. How many of you all watch the news? Mm-hmm. Okay, you stop watching it. One dear lady raised her hand. Because it's not news. It's a program. News program. What are they doing? Programming you. You know, we're supposed to have this man that's in what? Christ Jesus. You're watching those programs. Those programs are programming you to think a certain way. And then it's one-sided, and they're going to explain to you how you ought to feel. Amen? Give me both sides and let me decide how I want to feel. We're being programmed to hate each other. There was a little boy. Went into the grocery store with his dad, and there was a black man behind him. And as they came up to the counter, the little boy turned to his dad. His dad was white, he was white. And he says, "There's a thief." Why? Been programmed. All you see black people doing on TV, come on, y'all. Hello? See, that's why I wear suits every place I go. They know I didn't do it. We have been programmed to fight among ourselves and to hate each other. And while the real enemy is invisible and gets away and go and make someone else mad, amen? Not only are we programmed by television, news media, but we also are programmed by what they want to do. I think you talked about change. Obama changed everything. I remember one person said, one employee said he had to lay off some people. And he said, everybody that had their license plates and stuff changed on there, he said, y'all fired. He said, you wanted some change. He said, I'm going to fire all of you. Amen. But listen, they want to give us a new history. Why do you think they're tearing down statues? Huh? They want to change the past. Now, a lot of times when people have traumatic experiences when they're young, I have a niece like this. She will not accept her real father for who he is. She won't go around, don't know him. She's adopted her stepfather as her father, and that's all right. But you ought to know who your real dad was, okay? But she has gone through such a traumatic experience with her dad that she just denies he even exists. So what she has done is created a new dad, a new history. Folks, America has had a history like every other country. Some good, talk to me, and some bad. June 19th, or whatever they call it, ain't no way, I almost cussed. I'm going to celebrate that. You know why? Because what they're trying to do is to put the homosexual agenda along with black folk, saying that during June is the month that black people were liberated. No, it was not. How many, do y'all have a watch service? Watch night service? Okay, I don't know what that means to you, but in the black church, watch night service is the time, first of the year, that black people realize that they had been free by the Emancipation Proclamation.
Amen. That's good.
Huh? Now they want to change that to Juneteenth, or however they said. I feel sissified when I say amen. Juneteenth. June 19th, they want to change it. Because, you know, off of Texas in Galveston, the slaves heard a general read that you've been free. That's like 2 years later, 3 years after the Emancipation Proclamation. We've been celebrating our freedom in 1864? But now because Biden gets up and declares June 19th, by the way, Trump mentioned it first, amen. He really made it famous. Now, he says that we're going to make this a national holiday. And it is a holiday, legal. They made it legal. And then he tells the gay LGBTQT plus one, whatever they are, amen. He tells them, you can have a day or a month, which is not legal. They're illegal. So what they're trying to do is hook black liberation into homosexuality, amen? And I ain't buying it. I'm not buying it at all.
Yeah.
Who said that? Yeah, they're just messing everything up. No, I'm going to celebrate Father's Day. I get a lot of gifts. We got these new religious programs. And I brought all the false prophets here. I got them all. I'm not on here. Even though, here we go. T.D. Jakes, Paula, whoever she is, all this garbage. Some guy in a church, he sends me these things. Y'all know about that, right? Okay. They want this new world order to come in. And the only way they can get it is if we continue to hate each other, be divided, not have the same mind, not realizing that we've been set free by Jesus Christ to love everybody. Now, I just made it up in my mind. I'm going to become a lover, not a hater. I've tried that. It doesn't work. I can't hate everybody. They have a new work program. It's called slavery. Y'all don't believe that. Turn to Revelation 13, verse number 7. I hope this is in your Bible. Revelation 13, 7. 13, 17. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark, what? Or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now get this. If they can get you in a mask, that's one step from the mark.
Yeah.
Huh? I'm not wearing either one. My daughter came down from, where's she at, baby? Grand Rapids. Brought her two kids, and we were supposed to go to the children's museum. We walk in, and two nice ladies, and they said, well, you can't come in unless you have a mask. I said, ma'am, I'm not wearing a mask. It's over. They don't do any good anyway. And boy, we're going back and forth. And so my daughter said, Dad, why don't you be reasonable? I said, because I'm free.
Amen.
I'm not putting a mask on. So I ended up paying $5 for each one of them to go in. And I said, okay, I'll go sit in my car. I started to tell them to call the police. I go into the bank, not the bank, the post office. And a lady tell me, you can't come in here without a mask. I said, what you need is faith. Had a friend of mine walk up with, what's her name, Miss Kuno. And she does the gifts for our church for Mother's Day. We always give the lady something on Mother's Day. And I went to reach to shake her husband's hand. She said, oh, no, stay away from us. They had their mask on. She said, because we had COVID. I said, that's fine. I got Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Where is our faith? You know what? Remember I said we talked about hate and love? Hate always generates fear. Perfect love casts out, talk to me now, all fear. If you perfectly love Jesus, amen,
amen,
you have nothing to be afraid of. Let me show you. 2001. What's that? Anthrax is going to kill us all. 2002, West Nile virus is going to kill us all. 2003, SARS is going to kill us all. 2005, bird flu is going to kill us all. 2006, E. coli is going to kill us all. 2008, financial collapse is going to kill us all. 2009, swine flu is going to kill us all. 2012, the Mayan calendar predict the world ending. gonna kill us all. And I can go on and on. North Korea is gonna kill us all in 2013. 2014, Ebola virus is gonna kill us all. 2015, ISIS is going to kill us all. 2016, when are they gonna quit? They are not, because they want us fearful. Anybody here? You're not supposed to live in fear. You're to live in love. That's why I said I've decided I'm going to be a lover. Amen?
Amen.
I love Jesus.
Amen.
And he already promised he's going to take care of me.
Amen.
And he has proved it.
Amen.
Folks, I mean, over and over again. Let me tell you a story. I was in my classroom. This boy walked in and he called me some names. Ooh. Sailors didn't even use those terms. Folks, I'm a karate black belt. I said, oh, Lord, I'm saved. I don't want to make the front pages of the newspaper. I said, you better come quick, Lord Jesus. And so I got to walking. I got to walking behind that kid. They came in and cussed me out. Talked about my mother. Amen? So we're walking down the hall. I am not going to run because I'll catch up with him. I said, Lord, come quick. I get to the head of the stairs, and there's this policeman that's coming up, and he's crazy. He's been to Vietnam. I can't think of his name right now, but everybody around the school was scared of him. This kid was going down the stairs, and he told that policeman to suck something. That policeman took his blackjack and pow! Oh, I hurt! He hit him so hard. Then he hit him across the head. And guess what? I'm saying, don't stop, stop, stop. Did he come quick? I can tell you story after story. Went soul winning with a kid out of my church. We come up on a guy. He gets out. And the first thing the kid said, why we got to go around here, around my house? I said, well, that's where everybody know you. That's where y'all to go. Amen. So we get out the car. Kid come across the street. Man, he pulls out a knife this big. He gets ready to stab the kid. And I said, hey, hey, man, wait a minute. I said, Lord, I don't want to use this. I don't want to. Please help me. And I told that young man, I said, hey, listen, son. I said, you need to forget this. He said, you don't know what he did to me. He said, him and his boys caught me. And he said, they beat me up. And he said, I'm going to get him back. And I said, you need to forget it. And you know what he said? Okay, preacher, there'll be another time. Put his shank up and walked on off. God will take care of you. Amen. If you got faith in him.
Amen.
First man I ever led to the Lord, one of my best friends, he was a school teacher. He was a Jewish guy. He told me if I started a church that he would buy a building. He bought the building. We started running a lot of kids. He thought we had a lot of money. He wanted to raise the rent from 300 to 1,000. I got seven, you know, I got like 10, 15, 20 kids, man. How am I going to pay that? He turned the lights off, the heat. It's dead of winter. And he walked in the door. And I had a hose in my hand. And I could just read what was going to be on the paper. Pastor strangles member. I prayed the same prayer. Lord, come quick! And as I backed out the back door with the hose in my hand. One of my members came in and said, listen, don't worry about it. Come on. She said, there's a place right next door. And we moved out of his building right next door. He didn't even know it. He came back the next day. We weren't even there. Took all our little chairs and everything. I'm telling you, God will take care of you.
Amen.
Amen. You don't have to be afraid of anything. Last part of my sermon. Now, why do so many people love America? Three reasons, right quick. Number one, this right here. Huh? This right here.
Amen.
It's right here. This is my football. I remember once I dropped a football, played football. The coach made me carry it around. He said, if anybody knock it out of your hand, you're going to have to carry it around for a year. He said, you treat that thing like it's your wife. Amen. Nobody knocked it out of my hand. Why are you going to let somebody take this out of your hand? Let me tell you something. Teddy Roosevelt said this. He said, the Bible is a rock on which the Republic rests. Our country is falling apart because people are letting the devil take this out of their hand. Patrick Henry said, it's a book worth more than all the other books that were ever written. There's an adage. Most of you know it. It says, those whose Bible is coming apart, like mine is, don't send me a Bible, preacher. I'm going to get another one. I love this old Bible. I got it all marked up. Amen. So if your Bible is coming apart, your life is probably coming together. You read this, you'll get your life together. You said, why do so many people love America? It's because of the book. We have more books in America probably than all the countries around the world. And we ship books out by the thousands to different countries. But yet and still, you ask young people in church, where's your Bible? Ain't got no Bible, but ask them where the cell phone. Preacher, I've never had anybody leave their Bible at church and call me at midnight, said, hey, I preach, you got to let me in and get my Bible. But you let them leave this. Let them leave this. Now, this ought to be more important than anything else in your life. This right here, promise you, it says, God cannot lie. Amen. You're going to die. He says, I give you what? Eternal life.
Right.
Number two, spirit. That's why people love America. This book made us make good laws. Amen?
Amen.
Become a nation of laws. And then the spirit of liberty is here. That's the spirit of Christ. You cannot be a Christian without the Spirit of God. Am I right about it?
Yeah, right.
I don't care how hard you try. I went in the church a pig and I came out a lamb. Hello?
Yeah.
I went in and I love mud, but when I came out, I can't stand dirt.
Yeah.
That's why I try to stay clean all the time. When I die, they can just take me and just bury me. They ain't got to dress me up, amen. I'm going to have my dress clothes on already because I've been saved. I've been washed. Any man that's in Christ is a new creature. Let me show you how important the Spirit is. The Bible said the Spirit makes alive, but the letter, what? Kill it. A lot of people know the book. They don't have no Spirit. They don't have no Spirit. We had a PGM, remember? I told you we'd go down to PGM. They had some guys that they would bring. I open up a gymnasium for our kids to play anybody. So on Tuesday, guys from PGM wanted to come and play with us. So they played in the gym with us. And boy, we beat the living daylights out of them. One guy didn't like that. So he goes back to PGM and he gets two vans and he gets all of these guys to come back. And when they walked in, my friend that played with me, he said, this is going to be a rough one, but we don't like losing. Amen. He said, but they can only put five on the floor at one time. But each one of them came in, and guess what they was wearing? Number 23. Somebody had given them Michael Jordan shirts. All of them had 23 on. But you know what we realized? You can have a shirt. You can have the jerseys. But if you don't have the Spirit, you're just another person. Amen?
Amen.
You must have the Spirit of God if you're going to be more than a conqueror. There's no way I could stand and do what I'm doing at 75 years old. Amen?
Amen.
Did I get that right, babe? Okay. I'll make sure. They say a man never has to remember his sins, his wife does. Amen? But listen. The Spirit is important. I'd rather have Michael Jordan's spirit, amen, than his shoes or have his number. And last reason why people love America. Not because of our spirit. And we're some of the best giving people in the world. As I was telling you, I've gone to a lot of these states. And I haven't run into this racism that they keep talking about on television. Hello? I haven't run into it. I've met good people,
amen,
black and white.
Amen.
I was telling Pastor how a lot of times we went to places and people just bought us meals. My wife and I sitting down, guy walked up, started talking to us. You know, we dress a lot like. I'm going to keep doing that preaching. I might get some more free meals. Now, don't try this because this is black privilege. But they buy us meals. We had this happen 2 or 3 times just this year. America has a good spirit. Amen. The thing is, we have to keep it alive by standing our Bible, praying that God also fills us with the Holy Spirit. And last of all, realize that our most important citizenship is not actually being an American. Huh? We're just pilgrims here. We're going to a place not made by hands. My greatest identity is my race. Amen. That's not my greatest identity. I don't identify as being a black man. Amen. I don't identify really as being an American. Not that I got saved. I like being a Baptist, but that's not my primary identity. My primary identity is this. I'm a Christian. Amen. Hey, I serve a king.
Amen.
And I'm not ashamed of it. And I want to live so that I'm worthy of the salvation that he's invested in me. Now, let me kind of finish with this. It's 9:05. I'm through after this. I heard a preacher preach this. He said, this little boy, missionary, been there for 3 years. He's going home. And this little boy runs to meet the missionary that's getting on a boat. And the missionary says, son, I can't take you with you. And the little boy said this, take me to America. Now, take me to heaven. Take me to heaven. Interpretation. America, that little boy, was heaven. Folks, this is the closest thing that you're going to get. I'm talking about America, to heaven. You got every nation, every tongue, amen? Every nationality here in this country. And the thing that keeps us from killing and injuring ourselves is that book, the Spirit of God, amen?
Amen?
And we know that we're citizens. We got a better home. But America is a great place. That's why so many people love this country. Thank you, preacher. Like I said, it's really exciting in my church. You know, one day I was preaching and a guy jumped on me and choked me in the pulpit. Seriously, wasn't that on like a Mother's Day? And right, I called my senior pastor up. He says, what y'all gonna do for Father's Day? But anyway, the guy's choking me in the pulpit and all my men ran up. And look, I'm a karate black belt, and the Lord wouldn't let me hit him. And he's choking me, and we both fall into the piano down. And then the guys come up, and all the guys are beating him. One guy beat him so bad he broke his hand. And then the police come and say, what did you do to set him off? Nothing. But if you preach the gospel, people are going to get set off. Amen. They're going to get glad or mad. Thank you, preacher.